Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. It is good that we can enter the house of the Lord on this day and offer God our praise and thanksgiving for all of the good things that God has done for us. As we come, I draw your attention to the announcements. Many of them have been before you on the screen, so you've had an opportunity to make note of them. A couple of things, though, underscore for you. The first is that next Sunday evening, there will be a hymn festival for Earth Day at Knox St. Paul's United Church. I almost made them Presbyterian again for a minute there. Knox St. Paul's United Church is hosting a hymn festival for Earth Day. That's next Sunday evening, the 21st, at 7 o'clock in the evening. And they've invited the choir of St. John's to be part of that, so we will be there. And as a result, the choir will be practicing after worship this morning. And for those who like to, from time to time, join the choir, if you'd like to join us for that evening, join us downstairs after worship, and you can practice the couple of anthems that we will be singing on that evening. On April the 24th, we will be beginning our new Bible study. We've finished the study that we've been doing through the season of Lent on the Psalms, and for this next season, we will be looking at Paul's letter to the Colossians. And once we get to the end of Paul's letter to the Colossians, it should be about the time when perhaps we'll stop Bible study for the year, because the weather will be just too nice to sit in the church basement on a Wednesday evening. You'll all want to be doing something else. So that's our hope anyway, but at least one more study on Paul's letters with us. And if we end up with extra time, we'll throw in another small letter. That's the wonderful things about Paul's pastoral letters. As we come, the session met this past Tuesday evening, and Brenda has the session summary.
Good morning. Session met on Tuesday, April the 9th at 5:30 p.m. Reverend Adams constituted the court with a prayer and reading from Genesis 17, 1-8, in which God creates a covenant with Abraham. We are still looking for a volunteer to serve as the property chair. Barbara Mason reported that the paint night at Mexi's on April the 23rd is a fundraiser for the church. Kempel Barath will serve as a presbytery representative. John Adams will serve as the alternate for 2024 to 2025. Trish Brown reported that planning is underway for celebrations for our high school, university, and college graduates. If you have a family member graduating this year, please speak to Trish or Robert. Friday Fun Day comes to be a fun event. Activities included time in the gym, supper, then fun in the lower hall. Everyone is welcome to attend. The dates will be advertised in the bulletin. There will be a bowling event in the near future. Planning is beginning for the pageant Sunday. An intergenerational choir was well attended on Palm Sunday, and a number of children participated on Easter Sunday as well. Pickleball on Sunday afternoons has 20 people on average. Session approved the purchase of 3 new pickleball nets for the next pickleball season starting in September. Michelle Alexis reported that the Magaki Order Organ Concert will be on Friday, May the 24th at 7 p.m. Wes Libby asked the worshipers remain seated at the end of the service to listen to the postlude. John Adams continues to keep the roll up to date. Some changes to districts were made, and members who were impacted will receive a letter informing them of their new letter. Thanks.
And as we come in worship, we light the Christ candle as a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world, and that we, as his faithful people, seek to walk in his ways and follow his light. The call to worship for this morning is a responsive call and will appear before you on the screens. Let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord this morning and offer our praise. We live in the radiance of your glory.
Our worship comes from the gladness you've put in our hearts.
We give you thanks for the peace of your salvation.
Oh, hear the joy of our praise for your grace and mercy.
Let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. God of hope, we see your love poured out for us in all the world. Make us more like you. Teach us to live together as one community, human and beyond human, creature and created, to your glory, so that your love is known among all the living. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our opening hymn is 259 in the Book of Praise, This Joyful Eastertide, number 259 in the Book of Praise, or as it appears before you on the screens. Friends, the Spirit of God helps us in our weakness, interceding with sighs too deep for words. trusting in God's grace. Let us come now confessing our sin. The words to the prayer of confession will appear before you on the screen. What love you have given us, O God, that we should be called your children. What love you have given us, O Christ, that we should share a table with you. Forgive us when we act as if we were your only children, when we do not recognize your image in the faces of strangers, enemies, or friends, when we do not share our own table, forgetting that we need each other. Forgive us, O Christ, maker of peace, and teach us to follow in your way. Amen. Friends, hear this good news of God's promise. I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, says the Lord. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, I declare to you this day that we have been forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our next hymn is number 375, Fairest Lord Jesus, 375. If I can have the young people way at the back. Come on up front, guys. Good morning. How's everybody this morning? Good. I'm glad to hear that. What kind of a week did you have? Busy. Did you have a busy week too? I had a busy week. Wow. What did you do that was busy? School. Sorry? Oh, yeah, school can be a pain. Yeah. But, well, funny you should say that. That may tie in with our story this morning. Well, it can be fun. It can be hard, can't it? You have to work at school sometimes. So it can be. Yeah, you like it. Well, I'm glad to hear that. Yeah. Oh, everything in its stride. I was thinking this morning, though, you know what? I found this week was an awful hard week. Do you know why? Because it was rainy. Rainy, dull, gray days, right? And on rainy, dull, gray days, do you know what? I have trouble getting out of bed. Anybody else have trouble getting out of bed on the rainy, dull, gray days? Yep, yep. A lot of heads nodding behind you. It's a day that you just kind of want to curl up and stay inside, isn't it? Especially when it's one of those rains like we had a couple times this week that just kind of soaks everything. Nice soaking rain. But that's the other part, that it's a nice soaking rain. And that's important. I was complaining to somebody about the gray days earlier this week. And they reminded me that, well, yes, but did you notice this? She said, but the grass is getting green. Did you notice that? Yeah. This week, the grass got green in the rain. And it's going to continue to do that. As spring comes along, right? With this, it's a life cycle. That's right. We have been given this wonderful gift, right? That God has created a world that, despite times when we can get a little worried about things, it's dependable, and it's predictable, and it's a gift, right? So. We think sometimes, we look at all these things and we think, oh, another rainy day. I hate rainy days. I'm going to stay in bed. That's what Lise said. But it's also that rainy day that meant the grass got green, the flowers came out, and the life cycle kept going. That's right. And so that's just a reminder for us always as we think about things, and sometimes things we don't like, Jake, like school. Because school can be hard, and school can be a drag, because you can't stay home and play your favorite video game, or whatever it is that you like doing, right? It gets in the way of the things we like doing. But it's also part of that very important part of our life where we learn things, and we learn how to put things together. And so it's always, it's work, but it's work for a purpose. And that can be a good thing, the same way that all of us have work that we need to do, but it's work for a purpose. And work for a purpose is a good thing. So we think about those things. We take the good, we take the bad. We would never appreciate the time that we get to just goof off if we didn't have to, from time to time, do the work of going to school and things, right? We would never appreciate all the green of the grass, the beautiful daffodils that come out of our gardens at this time of year, if it weren't for the rain that falls to make them go. Because there's an expression about that. All these people know it, right? April showers. Have you heard that? April showers bring May flowers. So we give thanks to God for the wonderful rain we had this week, and the wonderful sunny days too, and the beautiful day that we're having right now, although I think it's going to rain later, but that's okay, because it's all part of that wonderful life cycle that we have. And did you notice something on the way in this morning? Did you come in this way, in the long walkway between the buildings? Because if you came in that way, you have to leave that way. When you go down, turn left when you go out, okay? Because in the grass, all along the walkway out here, flowers. Flowers blooming and just living their best life. because we've had wonderful rain this week that has caused them to grow. How about that? It's a miracle right before our eyes. Thank you very much. Trish, are you going downstairs this morning? Trish is going downstairs this morning, and you can go with her for Sunday school. This morning in Sunday school, it says in the bulletin we're doing Great Commission, maybe? I think I read that. And as the young people leave, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Living God, with joy we celebrate the presence of your risen word. Enliven our hearts by your Holy Spirit, so that we may proclaim the good news of eternal and abundant life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Good morning. The first reading is from Acts 3, verses 12 to 19. When Peter saw it, he addressed the people, "You Israelites, why do you wonder at this, or why do you stare at us, as though by our own power or piety we had made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our ancestors, has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and rejected in the presence of Pilate, though he had decided to release him. But you rejected the Holy and Righteous One and asked to have murder given to you. And you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And by faith in his name itself has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given him this perfect health in the presence of all of you. And now, friends, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. In this way, God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, that his Messiah would suffer. Repent, therefore, and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. The response of Psalm 4. Answer me when I call, O God of my right. You gave me room when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer.
How long, you people, shall I honor suffer shame? My own will you words and seek after lies.
But know that the Lord has set apart the faithful for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him.
When you are disturbed, do not sin. Ponder it on your bed and be silent.
Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord.
There are many who say, "Oh, that we might see some good. Let the light of your face shine on us, O Lord."
You have put gladness in my heart more than when their grain and wine abound.
I will both lie down and sleep in peace. For you alone, O Lord, make me lie down in safety.
And the last reading from John 3, chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see as he is. And all who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. Everyone who commits sin is guilty of lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he was revealed to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Everyone who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous.
Our next hymn is a new hymn. Goes along with the reading that we have just heard. How deep the Father's love for us. The words will appear before you on the screen, and you are invited to join the choir as you feel comfortable with the hymn. So Minna will play it through the whole hymn through as the introduction, and then we will sing the hymn. you're not going to sing with us because you don't have the words. A problem has arisen. However, the choir is going to sing it.
Yeah, we're going to try.
They've at least had a couple of days to listen to a YouTube video, so they may know it. Or I may be singing a solo this morning. Come along with me as you feel comfortable, choir. We will sing the hymn for you. Thank you, choir. Sounded wonderful. And we'll try to bring that hymn back to the congregation in a couple of weeks. But hopefully you noted that it is really based upon the words of the reading that we just heard from 1 John chapter 3. We turn now to this morning's gospel lesson, taken from Luke chapter 24. We read verses 36b to 38. Let us listen for God's word to his people. Jesus himself stood among the disciples and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name in all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Always surprising. The thing about the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus is that they are always surprising. In these days while Jesus walked the earth between Easter and the day of Ascension, the scriptures record many instances when Jesus appears to his disciples. And always, the disciples are taken by surprise. Last week we heard about the 10 who were locked away in the upper room on that first week after Jesus' crucifixion and how Jesus had come to them. Then we heard how Jesus came again to Thomas to assuage his doubt, and they all of them experienced the risen Jesus. They were locked away, unexpecting, afraid, and surprised. Today we read of Jesus eating with two of his disciples, the two with whom he had traveled on that journey between Jerusalem and Emmaus. Throughout these many hours in which they walked and talked with each other, the disciples were unperceiving that it was Jesus right beside them. And the gospel writer tells us that when Jesus greets them with the words, "Peace be with you," that then these disciples recognize Jesus. But they are startled, terrified, and thought that they were seeing a ghost. And for us, 2,000 years later, reading these stories with all of the tradition of the church in between us and them, I think it's fair to say that each year we're surprised too. Surprised, perhaps, that the risen Jesus walks with his disciples. Surprised that the disciples did not recognize Jesus as we hope that they would on this long walk along the road. Surprised, perhaps, that Jesus still walks with his disciples, those who continue to claim his name as Christians. It is surprising, all of these things. And yet it's not. As we look back at the historical record, the biblical record, we ought not be surprised that the disciples' reaction to the risen Christ was what it was. You see, resurrection is something that is outside of our human experience. Indeed, for Jesus to be raised from the dead, it required God himself to intervene into human history, to remove the immovable stone that blocks the threshold between life and death. It required the intervention of God himself to breathe life back into Jesus' body made of clay. And so the disciples' reactions ought not be surprising. They are logical. They are experienced-based learning, if you're in the educational trade. It is far more logical to believe that the women on Easter morning simply went to the wrong tomb. than that a Jesus would be raised from the dead. It's far more logical to assume that the gardener perhaps had moved the body. It's far more logical to believe that maybe somebody, the Romans perhaps, had stolen it from the grave, or that the Jesus who walked through the locked door was some ghostly apparition rather than the bodily resurrection of the Son of God. And yet time and time again, Jesus appears and greets his disciples, always with the same words. Peace be with you. And he breathes his spirit into their frightened souls, showing them his corporal wounds on his hands and his feet, eating fish to feed his body. And slowly, 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 the disciples come to have faith in what stands right in front of them. That Jesus has been raised from the dead and is present with them. And as that realization dawns upon them, the disciples too are transformed from doubters to observers, from observers to witnesses. Indeed, that's why we are surprised, I think, by the Easter stories that we hear in these few weeks that exist between Easter and Ascension. We are surprised because we know that the disciples do finally get it. We know that it is because of the testimony of these disciples that we have come to faith. In word, through scripture, and in the tradition of the church, they have brought the faith to us, and we believe. And so it's sometimes surprising when we observe the disciples struggling to believe. And just as the disciples were transformed from fearful and startled people to witnesses of the risen Christ, we too have been called and equipped to be witnesses. We too have been inspired by the Holy Spirit, literally breathed into by the Holy Spirit, so that we too can comprehend the deep, deep love of God that reaches into our human reality and turns it upside down so that we might know life and love, life and love, as only God can give it. And having received that wonderful gift, we cannot remain silent. It's a gift that is ours to give. For we, like the disciples before them, are witnesses. In the letter of John that we read this morning, the author of that letter reminds us of this great gift that we have received, and that this gift cannot leave us unchanged. That God's love changes everything. That we are empowered to overcome the power of sin in our lives because we have seen the one who defeats sin for us. That we will live new lives because the great love of God, because of the great love of God that we have seen and experienced. And those lives, new lives, will stand out and others will notice and we will be witnesses. Our calling is to reach out with compassion, just as Jesus did, to speak into the lives of those who are startled, those who are abandoned, those who are afraid, because those were the people to whom Jesus spoke. Sometimes there are happy coincidences. or the Spirit moves. I'm never quite sure. But when something shows up on the internet, I'm more tempted to say it's a happy coincidence than the movement of the Spirit, but perhaps I'm wrong. And in either way, interpret it as you will. Just yesterday, I received an email devotion that I subscribe to, which contained a quotation from Norman Borlaug. I think I said his last name right, B-O-R-L-A-U-G. You probably have never heard of Norman Borlaug, and you're sitting there thinking, who is Norman Borlaug? I'd never heard of him either, but I should have. He was an American agronomist. He's the father of the Green Movement, the movement to increase food production in the world, and he is a Nobel laureate. So we should know his name. And as part of that little devotional, there was this quotation that reads as follows. Borlaug wrote, "Almost certainly, however, the first essential component of social justice is adequate food for all mankind. Food is the moral right of all who are born into this world." Sit with that for a minute. Sit with that and then think back. Think back to Advent when we gathered here and we heard Mary's song, the Magnificat. Think back beyond the Magnificat, to the prophecies of the prophet Isaiah upon which Mary's song is based. And that great series of blessings and curses in the book of the prophet Isaiah's in chapter 2, when God's judgment is being meted out upon God's children, the judgment that will lead them into the exile. Sit with that and think about the life of Jesus, and how many times Jesus' ministry was revealed to people as they sat together at a table and broke bread together. Think about our very reading this morning when Jesus turns to his disciples and asks, "Have you anything to eat?" In amongst all of those passages and so many more in Scripture is the call for justice, to clothe and to feed and to lift up those who are downtrodden and to care for the world. That is our calling. And as we do those things, the promise that we receive in 1 John, the promise that we receive as we read through Scripture and we observe the lives of faithful people throughout millennia, is that when we have seen and experienced the love and the life that God gives us, that we are changed and others will notice. That like ripples when a drop of water falls into a pond. I bet you've been wondering why that image has been there all morning, haven't you? Like ripples that extend out as a drop of water alights into a pond. We spread out the faith as we live it in our lives, and others will see it and recognize it. And through the leading of the Spirit, be moved to follow. That is how it has been for millennia, and will be how it will be for millennia yet to come. But it all begins now. And it all begins here. And it all begins with you. Because you are witnesses. Thanks be to God. Amen. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and yet refuses to help a sister or a brother who is in need? Remembering God's love for the world, let us offer our lives to the Lord as we present our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. Eternal God, take and use these gifts for your purpose in the world. Give food to the hungry, hope to the despairing, and new life to the dead. Teach us to live each day for you, so that future generations will know your goodness and praise your glory. We pray all of these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. God of grace, we give you praise because you see new possibilities in our world, which languishes in sin and sorrow. The one who was rejected, you have made the cornerstone of a new community. And in our lives, you see still the possibilities of good news shared throughout the world. Hear us now as we come to you in prayer for the needs of the world. We confess that you, O God, are holy, And as the risen Christ opened the minds of the disciples to understand the scriptures and gave to them power through the Holy Spirit to walk boldly in this world, we pray that you will open the hearts of your people today to the healing, wisdom, and faith that Christ came to offer. Prince of Peace, as Christ Jesus showed his wounded hands and feet to the terrified apostles, we pray that you will reveal to your church and to people of prayer in every faith the wounds of our neighbors, the fears of individuals and families, and that you will guide us toward avenues of healing, hope, and reconciliation. You, O God, are the source of reconciliation, and so we plead for justice among the nations, peace throughout communities, and peace within families. Guide our political leaders and those who vote. Guide legislatures and parliaments, judges and juries. Teach diplomacy and let your ways be formed in us so that all creatures may have plenty. Light in our darkness, let your brightness burn in places that are shrouded in violence. Reveal the pains that are hidden in secret. Unveil the needs of our own hearts so that we may know the power of vulnerability. As your Son was raised to life, even from the grave, show us again that life comes from death. Healer of every ill, we pray for all who are in need, for refugees of war and all who are displaced by storms, for rescue workers and medical teams, for those whose bones are weary, and those who show us the power of community to give hope to the frightened, and for all who have asked for our prayers. You command us to bring to you our deepest desires, O God. And so we pray now for those persons and concerns that lie in our hearts. Hear us now as we draw all our prayers together into one, praying in the manner that Jesus taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This morning's closing hymn is number 755 in the Book of Praise. Go ye into the world, 755, or the words as they appear before you on the screen. Friends, the Word of God assures us what we will be has not yet been revealed. Live, therefore, with hope. Share your joy. Withhold your anger. Shed your disappointments. And turn to all people with gentleness. May the Lord bless you and keep you, shine upon you with grace and mercy, and give you what is needed for each new day. Amen.